peace and blessings and love and service. I want to welcome you all to Wise Words of Wisdom, Conversations with Manuel Lewis. That is myself. And I did have intentions on frequenting podcasts, putting up more podcasts, but you know, I've been having a lot of conversations. So what I wanted to do was on this podcast, actually play back a conversation that I had earlier today with a brother that because of my technical difficulties, I actually couldn't post it the way I wanted to post it, but I got a chance to record it. And I just like to put this out here. So it is framework around this new situation with the COVID-19, individuals being released from the prisons and the jails back into the community. So I guess we'll entitle this episode Reentry Back into the Community. We aren't ready, but they are.
Talking to a brother who just got locked up. Then I was also concerned about, you know, the family that's going to get ready to get out into society who ain't got nowhere to go and ain't really being rehabilitated or ain't getting the resources to assist someone that may open up a door or get him a bed or a couch or something to lay on.
Right.
So right now, my thought process is how can we take pressure off of people that's already under pressure, that's trying to keep their bills together and keep a roof over their head, but who still got a heart and want to keep somebody from being out here making a decision that's going to continue putting them behind an eight ball. Right now, I feel like it's a setup for us that's out here and a setup for those that's getting out, because there's been so much money pumped into this economy, but we doing more spending than thinking about investing or what I would say, paying attention for what's to come to be prepared. And family members that's getting out right now was something that we didn't see coming or was prepared for. And we can't go begging the government to be like, okay, all right, give us some welfare to help take care of another mouth to feed. So what I'm asking is it some way that we can accelerate them brothers getting assistance, whether it be food stamps or some kind of just small cash amount to help out a family member that might accept them in, because the shelters is filled up with the homeless.
Right, right. And I think that was a very important part in what you was, in the whole concern is that we do have, and it's a good thing when, you know, we have family members that's coming home. It's a good thing when we have individuals who have, you know, served their time in the system and, you know, really have took the self-initiative, because we know it's not too much initiative within the institutions, but the self-initiative to try to start to rehabilitate or think for change or do anything different, right? So along with that, that social demand, because, you know, society, we say, hey, man, you messed up. You need to go sit down for a second, right? So now we're in a situation where individuals are returning unexpectedly to these communities. And one, we know, you know, a lot of times their family wasn't positioned to receive them unexpectedly. You know, their family may be going through some hardships, and especially at this time, every family is going through hardships, right? And being that the conditions within the institution, there is a high level of anxiety. So individuals really trying to get out, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm pretty sure if a cat could sell a well some water to get out here on the streets real quick, that's what he'll do to be free, to get in a situation of freedom, not being confined, you know what I'm saying, to a cell or a dormitory, right?
But if he ain't been taught nothing, anything different, is he wrong for trying to survive?
No, and that's the piece, right? Because when we look at the survival, the need to survive for individuals wanting and needing to exist and to survive, what does that look like? It looks different in different cultures. It looks different in different locations and cities, right? But the innate need is to put food in my mouth, to put a roof over my head while I'm safe, for my loved one.
Not ask you for nothing, not take nothing.
Yeah, not have to take anything, you know what I'm saying? But be able to provide without causing harm to anybody for myself, right? So yeah, every cat, you know what I'm saying? Even the homies who live in hand to mouth, you know what I'm saying? Whatever they got in their hand, they trying to, you know what I'm saying, transfer it to something that they can put in their mouth. Even they don't really want to have to do nothing to anybody and hope that don't nobody do nothing to them along the way of them providing for themselves, right?
Yeah.
So how does that look when an individual gets out unexpectedly? You don't have any place to live. You can't go to work because the freeze is on, you know, no hiring, right? So now a person is getting out where they can't go get a job, right? Not a healthy, safe job in which they ain't going to, you know, start coughing and be gone in 2 weeks, right? So what we're talking about is a employment opportunity that can actually provide for their living expenses, right?
Right.
One job. Well, maybe two. Okay, let's say he got to get two, right? So he got to get two little pieces of job to put together to be able to pay for his housing, his food, you know what I'm saying? And be able to get back and forth, wash clothes, you know what I'm saying? Wash your face and all that, right? And
save money to get there.
Well, we just starting with providing. We ain't talking about thriving, right? Because that's at another level. That's at another focus. Yeah, we want to start saving, being put in a position.
No, I ain't even talking about saving on a level to where a rainy day. I'm talking about making sure that you ain't using all your money you got paid to survive that week and not got no money to get on the bus to get there tomorrow.
Right.
After you done already made it through. That's what I'm talking about.
Right.
And sometimes that's even hard to say. Mm-hmm. It's like when you on that level, budgeting is important. And we haven't been taught the importance of budgeting. We just been living for the day, making sure we can wake up to have something tomorrow. But what about the day after tomorrow? We think about the day after tomorrow.
Tomorrow.
Because we living for the day. Yeah.
And that's that piece.
Yeah, and if an accident happens, any emergency, you know, when you living for today and only thinking about tomorrow, when something happens today that takes away from tomorrow's security, meaning that you might not be able to go to work, you might got a boss that feels like you're lazy and you're calling off because you don't want to come to work, now you lose your job.
Right.
Situations where, you know, we not even having enough room to make mistakes, to deal with what happens to us naturally as humans. And we got plenty of family members who need something to eat or who in a situation to where us giving them our last, we know that we'll get it back.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know it was our last.
Right.
And some people kind of put themselves behind the eight ball because of their compassion for people who might not be able to get up from behind the eight ball.
Right.
So, and I'm one of them people, and I'm going to be honest, and that's why I speak that way, because I know how to hustle. I know how to make things happen. I know how to have a conversation with people to get them to understand what we need to do to move forward. And in the mix of all that, them are skills that I got to survive for myself. So I can't sacrifice in the process of building for the betterment of us all. But there's some people out here who still so self-centered and so selfish to where they don't even know that if they give a little, more come back.
Right.
You know, like the hoard mentality. Look at everybody that ran out and bought all this stuff for this pandemic that's now looking at it like, dang, I got all this stuff. The store loading back up. What am I going to do? So what I'm saying is that thought process and that mind state has to come to a leverage and a balance. Yeah, we got to survive. But how much is hoarding and how much is surviving? How much is sharing and how much is getting taken advantage of? And that's where I feel like we need a little bit more education ourselves as people that want to help deal with them that ain't even got a clue of where we at and what needs to be done because they still thinking about what they gonna eat today so they don't starve tomorrow.
Right. And those basic needs that focus on the basic right now needs is one of the things that we both know that can cause an individual to make choices and decisions that, you know, they may address the right now, but they don't necessarily benefit the long term. Right. So what we actually start off talking about, and I want to kind of, you know what I'm saying, bring that back in focus. Not that we got out of focus, but, you know, being that we're about to receive a lot of individuals back into society from the institutions, you know, are we as a community? And I know this is rhetorical because we ain't. You know what I'm saying? We don't even do good as a community, especially here in Minneapolis. Minnesota is the nonprofit capital of the United States, you know, and Minneapolis is the capital of that. So we have a lot of nonprofit agencies that say that they provide service and help for individuals around reentry, right? So we know we got halfway houses and, you know, treatment centers that individuals can go to, and things of that nature, and institutions that's already set up to receive, you know, like drug treatment centers, right? So what if an individual now is, and I know that you ain't, you know, an expert in the field, neither am I, right? And the reason I got it up on Facebook, got the certificates behind me, because all the work and time that I put in trying to learn something different, because I was one of those individuals who, you know, struggled and was duly addicted to all of the dysfunctional ways of living on the streets, right? So,
speak on it.
So knowing that in me wanting to do something different, there was a whole bunch of time that I had to put into learning something different, right? So, and I have it up on, you know, and I think this audio is live. The visual behind me is all the certificates, all the time that I had to put in to do something different. So yes, it does take time. It does take investment. But now we're talking about individuals who's getting out here and we're expecting them to do a whole, well, whatever change that we're expecting them to do. Now they're coming back into a community that ain't the community that's conducive to what we want to see them do. It ain't even conducive to them coming back living anywhere, right?
All right. So the word expectation. Like, at the most, we just expecting that you respect the household, that you understand, you know, that things ain't the way that it used to be. Since COVID-19 hit, the world is changing every day as we living in this moment. And people who ain't watching TV and who ain't got people that's living with them, you know, who truly like just into it and understand it. Them brothers that's getting out, their minds is gonna be at a whole, when I say a whole different place, they not gonna understand how important it is, social distancing is going to be out here. Because, man, when you locked up behind walls, you ain't getting no sun, and people trying to tell you what to do, and you get a little bit of freedom, you kind of don't be in the mindset of wanting to hear what somebody else trying to tell you what to do at the moment. So what I'm saying is it's going to be our job and our responsibility to have patience and to save our brother lives and to save the community from victimizing and going back and repeating this revolving cycle. Because I truly feel like it's a setup. When I say a setup, it's a setup to a point to where you're putting people out here on the streets who don't know where to go, who ain't got nothing to lose. And then you got a bunch of judgmental mind states out here who, what I would say, basically come up with their own thought process, their own view. And it's like, you know, we as the people need to understand that it's just us. It's us against this system. It ain't even what I say, people running it. It's like us against a machine.
Mm-hmm.
Because the machine, once it's going, it don't stop. And one example of that was when they was trying to kill the brother down south who was proved to be innocent, but they couldn't stop him from being executed because the machine was already on the conveyor belt going forward.
Right.
So I'm like, is the machines in control of our emotions and common sense? Or are we in control of our emotions and common sense? And this is one of them times where, you know, we're going to have to start challenging ourselves. Because everybody that got locked up ain't criminals.
Right.
And it ain't like they ain't got no sense. You know, it was just a mistake in their life, a hiccup in their life. But then there is something that's like, man, my life, and this is all I know. Don't expect anything else out of me.
Right.
Just on vacation when I come around y'all. Because my address is on my chest.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
And that's a mindset, right?
Yeah, that's a mindset. So in that mindset, you know, it functions normal in the in the community that's already dealing with dysfunctions on a normal level. Like a lot of stuff we deal with is already dysfunctional, but because we got so many issues and problems of our own, it's just the norm. Like, it's not okay to watch people who older take advantage of younger people because a younger person is in a situation just like a brother who just got out of jail, homeless, hungry, uneducated, and lost.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a situation our community is in. And that's some of the normal things that's happening. I'm going to just, you know, hit the hammer on the head on the nail. When they come to these corner stores and these little sisters that I see up in there being taken advantage of by these brothers who own it,
say that.
Just for a simple thing to get to survive.
Say that.
And me as an older brother, you know, I feel like it's not my daughter, but it is my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
It's not my business, but it is my business.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to get my head knocked off and cussed out because I care about people more than they care about themselves. Mm-hmm. So yeah, the setup is there and in play for us who are aware of it,
mm-hmm.
be patient, move from a space of love,
mm-hmm.
and don't take things too personal, but be vigilant and aware.
Because
it's all still self-survival as well. You don't want to get your head knocked off praying for somebody who don't believe in God.
Right. And that's a definite, it's a big part and it's a vital piece in self-preservation, right? Because like you say, and I feel the same way, you know, if I know I can protect myself, you know, but there again, I see a threat to me different than somebody else may see a threat to them or their existence or survival, right? So like right. you said, when people put themselves in situations that, you know, it's whatever, got to get it how I got to live, like right now, right?
Right.
But when you look at it from a bigger perspective, you know what I'm saying? You see that, nah, sister or brother, you ain't necessarily got to, I get you, but you ain't necessarily got to do that, right? Or you ain't
right.
necessarily got to put yourself in that position. Or,
right.
you know, you don't necessarily have to think like that. Come in, let me holler at you. You know what I'm saying? So it's that piece where, can you hear me, Mike?
No, I'm listening, bro. I'm absorbing what you're saying.
Okay.
And not cutting you off. I'm here.
So it's the piece where, you know, how do we practice self-preservation, but also show and extend love, care, and concern for individuals who may not see what we see, or, you know what I'm saying, kind of visualize what we, you know, what we can, what's before us, right? Because when it comes down to it, everybody's exposure is different, right? So what you see at the store, it may look different or foreign to someone who don't go to that or don't frequent that or don't know nothing about that, right?
Right. So can't even imagine.
So it really looks foreign. It's like, oh, well, I seen something, but I don't know what I seen. I don't know right. what it was, but it could have been something. I don't know, right? If you, you know, what we consider to be square. But if you, you know, kind of well rounded off and exposed to some things, you know exactly what that was, exactly where it came from, what that's going to lead to, you know, how it smells, how it looks, the rippling, not only the rippling effect going out, but inward to the individual, what their mindset could be like, even to put themselves in that type of situation, right? So looking at this current situation and moving forward and having love in our heart for people and having compassion for the next individuals. And we know, you know, it's an old saying, you ain't a criminal until you get caught. And there's right. the criminal population ain't what it looks like, right? It's a little different, right?
Right. Right. So it's not a hard thing, bro. One concept my grandma taught me. My grandma was a wise one. I mean, most of my friends, my uncle friends, came into our life because of the compassion and love my grandma had. We're not turning her back. And she taught us the closed fist and the open palm technique. Are you familiar with it?
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir. Please elaborate, though.
So she talked about how important it is to stay together. And she put her hand up and she spread all her fingers apart. And she basically, you know, used her fingers as branches of my family, you know, led by the grandmother and the grandfather, you know, all the kids that come down between. And she talked about how if we stay separated and apart, like when you put your hands up and spread your fingers out, mm-hmm. your fingers can easily be broken, picked off, stuff can go through the cracks, mm-hmm. you know, be manipulating, trying to hold some of your hand. It falls through. But if you pull your fingers together, close your hand, and make a fist and stay together, you can't even put a fingernail through that fist. You can't put a finger through that fist. And when you move together, you're more impactful and more of a force than when you're moving like five individual fingers instead of one closed fist. If you ever open your hand up and spread your fingers and look at them and then close your hand and make a fist, and punch your palm, you will see the difference between punching your palm and slapping your palm. And that's how people need to get together. And if we don't get together and come together like a fist, all those spread out fingers will get picked off individually. All that mess will come through in and out. The strength that we got from, you know, the ancestors that survived through that boat ride, who we are descendants of, still standing here alive today, all that'll die away. Because if I was to be what they say, a jarhead, constantly unstrung my lid, taking my stuff out of me, putting in what somebody else is putting in me, I'm no longer being what I need to be for the future that's coming up under me. I'm programmed to train them the way that society wants them to be. And right now, the brothers in jail don't even get that. It used to be called correction. Now it's just babysitting. So you babysit an adult who got the mind state whatever age they was, they went in there. 10 years later, they come out with that mind state, 10 years underdeveloped. We looking at them in a way to where, okay, you got a beard. You obviously grown to know better. But if he ain't been educated in that time where he was supposed to be corrected in that correctional facility, he coming out with that same thought process, with that same image and view mm-hmm. to a world that has changed. Yep. And he has no way of understanding how to navigate through. And if the patience and the love ain't there, the family and the people, stop. Like I said, you just that individual finger waiting to get broken, mm-hmm. trying to find a fist to gather with and close to make an impact. So we need to be more of like that fist and stop being like, man, I'm getting how I live. I don't care about nobody else, because every other culture know who they are. I'm proud to be Black. But being Black,
so yeah, I want to stop it right there, because that conversation was very in depth. One of the brothers here in Minneapolis, one of the older families, So I just reached out to the brother and, you know, so we can chop that piece up. But I will be coming back again with a part two of that conversation. Just want you to stay tuned in. And again, thank you very much for tuning in to Wise Words of Wisdoms, conversation with Manu. Again, let us stay focused on, especially on ourselves, how we're responding to things, how we're just taking notice in our body and our attitudes, even our biases towards other individuals in these times. Again, sorry for the long pause, but I'm just trying to get this stuff down packed. So yeah, I want, you know, all the listening audience to share. If you like it, share it. You can also go find Wise Words of Wisdoms on Spotify and SoundCloud, not on YouTube just yet. I'm doing the audios right now. So yeah, spread the word, chime in. If you want to donate, you know, some change, 50 cent, 75 cent, anything will help me continue to do this and to be able to give back. And I got, just want to put it out there to the brother Farji. Know you're probably listening, brother. Got them gloves for you. You know, whenever you get over, I'm not really mobile right now, but whenever you get around Northside. All right, that's a closer for this episode. Again, peace and blessings, love and service. Be safe, be kind, and be conscious.